Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we come to you today in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior. We come with gratitude and thankfulness for the manifold blessings we enjoy from your hand. The thoughts of millions of people in our nation are turned to you with expectation in this season of the year. We want to focus on all that we have rather than longing for what we don't have. And we have so much more than most of the people of the world. All that we are and all that we have come from you, and we owe it all to you. We remember your goodness in the past, and we rejoice in your closeness right now. And we know that you have the power for the needs of the future. How blessed we are as individuals and as a church and as a nation. We glorify and honor and worship you. We have needs among us today. You didn't promise us the world would be easy, and you didn't say there would be no problems or difficult situations. But you did promise us your mercy and your grace. And you did say you'd be with us. And you did say your grace would be sufficient. And we found it to be true. And in our troubles and trials, when the road seemed long, you've been right there with us. And you've seen us through. The Holy Spirit has been faithful. It's been nearer than breathing and closer than hands and feet. We're going to make it by your grace. Give that special word of comfort to the bereaved and in the days to come when they feel their loss so keenly and feel they're all alone. Help them to feel your presence. And help them to find the grace to go on. We pray for the suffering and for those with physical needs. Touch them physically and emotionally and uplift them spiritually. We pray for those that are struggling with family relationship difficulties that are heartbreaking and seem to be beyond hope. Lord, you know just how to minister the word of hope that they need for this day. We pray for those struggling with painful memories. We pray for healing of those damaged emotions, and we ask that they will find restoration. And as each one right now lifts up their hearts to you with that very special need and personal request, help us to be able to reach through the doubts and questions and trust you for the answer to that particular prayer they are praying to you. We look to you with faith and confidence. Thank you for hearing these prayers. We bring the needs of our nation to you today, our president, his cabinet and advisors, the men and women of the Congress and the courts of our land. And we remember our military all around the world. We pray for peace. We glorify and honor you today, and we praise your holy name. In the name of your Son. Amen.
Our scripture reading comes from Philippians 1, 3 through 11. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel for the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a work among you will bring it to a completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Jesus Christ. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God.
This scripture that was just read by Johnny, and beautifully read, I might add, that was very good, is Paul talking to his friends in the church, which I think we all know that Paul started many churches. But Paul says in this letter, I thank my God every time I remember you, which is another way of saying, I thank my God every time I think of you. You might note that Paul makes similar statements of thinking of you, the churches, in other letters. We know that Paul did, in fact, think of the churches he began because of the many letters that he wrote to them. But sometimes, whether we want to or not, we find that our true feelings come out. We work so many times to be diplomatic. Another note on Paul is that he was a master at telling churches exactly what he thought without sugarcoating it, and they liked it. So when we try to be diplomatic in our approach to people, well, some of us do try to be diplomatic, and we don't always express our true feelings, then the truth will normally come out. For example, a pastor and his wife decided to have the church elders over for dinner. It was quite an undertaking, but the pastor and his wife wanted to be salt and light for the leaders of their church. When it comes time for dinner, everyone is seated, and the pastor's wife asks her little 4-year-old daughter if she will say grace. The girl says, I don't know what to say. Her mom tells her, just say what I say, honey. Everyone bows their heads, and the little girl says, oh, dear Lord, why am I having all these people over for dinner? Amen. Just a note, parents, you may not want to have your 4-year-old pray at those events. But Paul then adds to his letter, and this is my prayer that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best. Paul understands quite well that it is hard at times to know what is best. Sometimes even the best of intentions, we do not choose what is best. And quite frankly, what is best is not always clear. Have you ever caught yourself in a situation where you didn't know for sure what was best? I was talking with some friends last night, and they were telling stories of the winter storm back in 2000 here in Texarkana. Heavy ice, electrical outages, and so forth. Many of you probably remember that. Almost got an amen. That's good. But as you know, Colorado can have some very bad weather as well. One year, it had been a hard winter in the Rockies. The snow piled deeper and deeper. The temperature dropped below zero and stayed there. The rivers froze over. People were suffering. The Red Cross used helicopters to fly in supplies. After a long, hard day, as they were returning to their base, the rescue team and a helicopter saw a cabin nearly submerged in the snow. A thin wisp of smoke came from the chimney. The men figured those people in that cabin were probably critically short of food, fuel, and medicine. Because of the trees, they had to set down about a mile from the cabin. They put their heavy emergency equipment on their backs, trudged through the waist-deep snow, and reached the cabin exhausted, panting, and perspiring. They pounded on the door, and a thin, gaunt mountain woman finally answered. The lead man panted, ma'am, we're from the Red Cross. She was silent for a moment, and then she said, it's been a hard, long winter, Sonny. I just don't think we can give anything this year. It's not always clear whom the one is who needs help, right? It's not always clear if we should or should not take risk. But are we ever wrong if we are at least thinking of others? Is it wrong if we trudge through the snow to help someone because we are thinking someone needs food, fuel, and medicine? If they are needing help? I thank my God every time I remember you, think of you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you. Because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. In this Advent season, our thoughts are on the coming Christ, the birth in the manger, the baby who brings hope. For some, Advent may be the only season they darken the doors of a church. For some, it may be the only time of the year they think of our Lord. For some, it may be the only way they think of the Lord. In the movie Talladega Nights, Will Ferrell, who plays the race car driver Ricky Bobby, is at the table getting ready to eat, and when he says the blessing, he prays to the baby Jesus. But in the middle of the prayer, in which he returns thanks for the bountiful harvest from Domino's Pizza and Taco Bell, his wife interrupts him and tells him she doesn't like the fact that he always prays to the baby Jesus. She says, Jesus did grow up, you know. You don't always have to call him baby. To which Ricky Bobby responds, I like the Christmas Jesus best, and I'm the one saying grace. When you say grace, you can pray to the grown-up Jesus or the teenage Jesus or whichever Jesus you like. Is it not true that for many, Jesus is seasonal? That it is the baby Jesus that holds meaning because it means Christmas is near? For those who cling to the baby Jesus, they are missing out on a Lord of Lords and a King of Kings who rules year-round. A Jesus who is thinking of you every day of every week of every year. When we take the baby Jesus out of the manger and lift him to the world, we begin a great ministry. We say to the world, our Lord is a Lord for all times. When we look to the grown Jesus, we grow. We begin to understand mission and ministry. One day, a couple of church members were out distributing loaves of bread in a low-income housing complex. They came to an apartment where they heard arguing through the door, but they decided to knock anyway. A man opened the door and asked what they wanted. One of the visitors said, "We don't want anything. We just wondered if you know anyone who could use some loaves of bread." "Why are you doing that?" the man asked. "Just to let them know that God loves them." "What did you just say?" the man asked, rather anxiously. "We're just handing out loaves of bread to let people know that God loves them." The man stared and said, "I can't believe this. We just buried our 3-week-old son yesterday, and now you're here at our door." The visitors offered to pray with them, and the couple accepted their offer. As they were leaving and the door was being closed, they heard the husband say to the wife, "See, honey, I told you God cares. We thought he wasn't paying attention to us, but he sent those people here to make sure we knew." Too many people make excuses as to why they can't serve the Lord. Can you bake a cake? Can you cook some food items? Can you cut someone's grass? Can you call people and give them an encouraging word? Can you do housework? Can you do handiwork? Can you donate anything of value? Can you stop along your way and give a smile? Can you take an interest in someone else's life? The big thing is that we have to be ready to serve. We have to open our eyes and our ears to the needs of others. Service is the language of grace, and grace is our God thinking of us. Paul says, "It is right for me to think this way about all of you because you hold me in your heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me." So we're going to do a little experiment. I don't do this often, but I'm going to ask this time, and if you're asleep, please wake up. This is a good time to do that. I would like for everyone to put a hand out. You do that for me? Imagine with me that you have a lemon in your hand. Feel how cold it is since you just took it out of the refrigerator. Can you feel it? Feel the two knobs on the end. Okay, now take a knife and cut the lemon in half, but careful, don't cut yourself. Cut your lemon. Oh, look at the juice run down the sides. Now put one half down and just hold the other half of the lemon. Okay? Now look at the inside of the cut lemon. Lean down and smell the lemon. Get a good full sense of the lemon fresh scent of the just cut lemon. Okay? Now squeeze the lemon. See the juice ooze up and cover the surface of the cut lemon? Now, lick the lemon. That's right, lick the lemon. Okay, who feels like you have more saliva than you did a minute ago? How can that be? It was only pretend. The reason is because your body reacts to that which your mind thinks about. During this Advent season, who are you thinking of? The baby Jesus or the man Jesus? Are you excited that there will be a little baby that the three wise men will visit, or that there will be a Savior born who will teach and preach and heal and lead the church? What are you thinking about? Because what you think about makes all the difference. Once I went to my favorite Mexican restaurant. I just couldn't wait to get there, and my stomach was growling and my mouth was salivating. I sat down in my favorite booth and ordered my favorite Mexican dish. Minutes later, they brought it out. Chicken enchiladas covered in sour cream with a side of beans and rice. I couldn't contain it. The aroma was just emanating from the gooey cheese. I couldn't wait any longer. I picked up my fork and knife and cut a huge piece and stuck it in my mouth. I spit it out of my mouth fast. The chicken on the inside was ice cold. How could it be that the sour cream was nice and hot on the outside, but on the inside the chicken was ice cold? I think we can be that way sometimes. Hot on the outside and cold on the inside. Hot about Christmas, the gifts and the food. Cold on the inside about servanthood and ministry. We may come and worship God looking all spiritual, but on the inside we are distant and cold. Hot plus cold is warm. We have no passion when we are warm. God would desire that we were one or the other, hot or cold, because when we are cold, at least we are straight up about it and God can work with us. But when we are hot on the outside, putting on a good show, and cold on the inside, where it is hidden, then we deceive. If this Advent season, in this Advent season, if we can say, "We're thinking of you, Lord," and then make the journey with Him to serve others, then we can say what Paul said, "May your love overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best. So in the day of Christ, you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God." May this Christmas season, this Advent season, may we be hot as that flame on our Advent candles today. Not just on the outside, but on the inside. God needs us. And God needs our hands and our feet and our mouths. And this is the season to get the word out and to say, we believe in the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come before you this day, we know that oftentimes we don't feel what we are saying. We want you to bring your Holy Spirit into our hearts and our minds that the flame may be inside as well as out, and that we may commit ourselves in such a way that your church will continue to grow, that the people will see your love in us, and that we will have excitement in serving you. For we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.